Last week we took a look at Acts chapter 1 verses 8 and we saw what it meant to receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon you. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be empowered to be more effective in witness and ministry, empowered to preach and proclaim the gospel, empowered to be victorious over sin, Satan, and demonic forces. Even though Satan and those forces will try to lie to you and think that or tell you that you will not be victorious over it, but we are. We are empowered to be victorious over sin and Satan. You will also be empowered in the distribution of gifts for ministry. And we also saw in that verse 1:8 that the message of Christ is to go to the ends of the earth, all out. And after Jesus went to be with the Father, the followers were instructed to wait. And here is where we begin our message today, waiting. I know I mentioned something a while back that, you know, this is one of my tougher areas on waiting. Patience is not something that I've been really good at. And I think there are times that God loves to challenge me on those areas where I'm weak. But just for instance, just daily, everyday living things. Now maybe you can kind of identify with some of these things with me, but if I'm in a store and ready to check out, I'm always looking for the shorter lines. And not just shorter lines either. I'm usually looking for a fast checkout cashier too. Because just because the line is short doesn't mean it's the quick one. Is that light blinking on top? That's an indicator you don't go to that line because they need a manager and you're going to wait. When I'm driving, now not so much around here, but if I'm in the cities or something where there's four lanes of traffic, I'll typically go in the left lane, the fast lane, because I want to be going in the lane that I'm going to go as fast as I want, which might only be a few miles an hour over the speed limit. Just I'm being transparent. I want to be in the quickest lane. If I have to call a large company on the phone, now like a loan company, like my mortgage company or student loan company, I usually try to think, what are the times that they're going to have a lower call volume? Why? Because I don't want to spend a lot of time on hold. So I will try. Usually I'm not very good at picking that. But I'll try to find a time when there's less callers, so I'm decreasing my time on hold. Why? Because I just really don't like waiting. I don't like to wait. So what happens when I get in that slow checkout line that seems to move at a snail's pace? What happens when I get in stop-and-go traffic? What happens when I see that I've been on hold for 20 minutes and the call is important, so I'm going to continue on staying on hold, even though I'm wondering, have I now entered the twilight zone of their phone system, wondering if someone will actually pick up? What happens is I struggle. I think things, I say things that I would probably not want repeated. They reflect impatience and frustration and even intolerance at times. Well, God's working with me on this. He challenges me more and more. How about you? How are you at waiting? So just a question to think about, but let's take a look and see how the apostles did at waiting. I'll be looking at Acts chapter 1, starting with verse 12. Acts 1:12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. After Jesus ascended into heaven, there were a couple angels that reminded his followers that Christ wasn't there, and they returned to Jerusalem. And the first thing that we see on this first verse, 12, it was a Sabbath day's walk to where they were going. Now, it was interesting, as I was reading some of my commentaries, it was not a Sabbath, but they saw it fit to tell us how far it was that they walked. It was probably a Thursday. But in the tradition of the Jewish tradition, on the Sabbath, you were only allowed to walk a certain distance. Otherwise, it was considered work. Well, who made that judgment on how far it was? It would have been the Pharisees. It would have been the religious elite to tell how far you could walk. But the reality was, it was only probably 2/3 to 3/4 miles. So they were not far. They were a fairly short distance. The followers, after walking back to the city, went to an upper room. Not just any upper room, but a familiar room where they were told, where we are told that they were staying. Now, such a room would have been above the loud and busy streets. It would have been above the prying eyes of those walking by. So it would have been, you probably would have still heard some noise, but it wouldn't have been as distracting. Now, there was questions on, well, where was this upper room? Was this the place of the Last Supper? Was this the place where Jesus met his disciples after the resurrection? Is it the place where the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost? And to be honest, it might be any of these. Or it might be none of them. We simply are not told because it wasn't the main point. However, it would have been a good room to spend time in prayer because it was above the street. There would have been less distractions. So this would have been a great place to pray. And we're told that in this room, there the 11 remaining apostles had come together. Now we're missing Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus because he had already taken his life. Also in this group, we're told that there are several women, including Jesus' earthly mother Mary, of whom is never mentioned again after this point, or after this in this book of Acts. She's not mentioned again. But it's noteworthy of the mention of the participation of women here. Now, it doesn't seem like it really is that important. But if you're understanding the culture and the way women are seen or are viewed, the fact that there's equal participation of the women, it's important. Because culturally, they were downplayed in public roles. The apparent mixing with men demonstrated one example of Christ breaking human barriers. This was a human cultural barrier where men and women just didn't do these things together. Yet here we're told in the beginning of the church that these barriers are being torn down. Now later on we see another barrier being broken down with the acceptance of Gentiles into the followers of Christ, into the church. That's another big barrier later on. But let's get to the point. They all gather together here in this upper room to mutually support one another and to wait in a very Christ-like way. How did they wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit? They came together and spent time in constant prayer. That word together in the Greek more specifically means being of one mind. They were all persistently praying with one mind. And there are many instances of in Scripture where waiting and prayer, when they are really, they're interrelated. They often accompany one another. To say I'm waiting for an answer could mean I am praying for an answer. Or vice versa, I could say that I'm praying for an answer, which also could mean I'm waiting for one. Waiting is not always the easiest. Like in everyday frustrations. Like the slow line, the slow checkout cashier. Instead of grumbling and getting frustrated, I should be praying for the cashier. I should be praying for the person checking out that may be slowing up the line. Seems to me that would be a much better use of my time than grumbling or getting upset. When I'm in stop-and-go traffic, Juanita's usually pretty good at reminding me that we're not really in that big of a rush. We're not really in that big of a hurry. But why are you getting so upset? Thank you, Juanita. Even though I don't always receive it well. I could be enjoying my time with my family in the car. Or I could be praying during those times. Sometimes the delays are because of crashes or other things. Why not say some prayers rather than burn with frustration of something that I cannot change? How about while I'm on hold? I could be praying that someone will answer the phone in the next minute, but maybe more I should be praying for the person who is about to help me. I have no idea who they are. But why not make that a time where, Lord, whatever this person is going through, just praying for them. Maybe even pray for patience too. These are just the small things in life, but what about the big things in life? What about waiting for God to give an answer to something? Waiting on God for direction? Waiting in the hospital after a loved one's surgery? Waiting in the ER that seems to have stopped bringing patients back? Waiting for a job. Waiting for a loved one to turn their life over to Christ. Bigger things in life. These are the times when prayer is even more important. Prevailing prayer. Prayer without giving up until the answer comes. And we're praying not because God is a reluctant to give. But maybe we are not ready to receive. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe there's another reason. But prayer makes us ready, for in communing with God, our hearts are attuned to His will. Right here we see that the followers were in constant prayer in this passage here. They were readying themselves for the coming gift of the Holy Spirit. They were promised it. They knew it was coming, but they were told to wait, and they waited in prayer. Now, they were praying that the gift of the Holy Spirit would come. They were praying that the Holy Spirit would come. Not that they didn't believe God wouldn't send it, but they were praying to ready themselves for when they would receive Him. That is how they waited upon the Lord for the Holy Spirit to come. Just thinking back a long time ago, seems like a long time ago, when I was still working as a deputy. I remember as I was working that things just didn't seem quite right. I wasn't sure, is this where I should be? Should I be doing something else? I remember praying about it, spending time in prayer, feeling restless that maybe I need a job change, an occupation change. And there's other times I just felt, well, maybe I'm feeling a little burned out, and over time that will pass. But I prayed for direction. I remember going out on prayer walks at night, asking God for direction. If I hadn't done that, if I hadn't spent time in prayer, I would have not been ready for the direction I was given. Even with that direction, I prayed even more for affirmation and even more direction. Through prayer, not only was I getting tuned in to hear God's answer, but I was also getting ready to begin a new direction in my life, serving Christ. Getting in tune with what God had for me and my future. Prayer is, as I have stated many times in the past, is very important. This week I read about a man named George Mueller who in November of 1844 began to pray every day for 5 individuals that they would come to know Christ. 7 days a week without fail, he would be praying. God, he's praying that these 5 individuals would come to know Him. After 18 months, a year and a half later, after he started, the first of the 5 accepted Christ. 5 years later, the second one accepted Christ. Remember, he was praying every day. 11 years after he began, the third one accepted Christ. He prayed over 36 years before the fourth one accepted Christ. And it wasn't until after he died that the fifth one finally accepted Christ. How long are we to keep praying on things that are important? I think George Mueller gives us an idea of how long to wait in prayer. As long as it takes. Persevering, constant prayer. The followers of Christ in the upper room were the first church. They were the first church coming together. And they were looking to make an impact, a world impact, with the help of the Holy Spirit. It was through prayer that they were preparing for that global impact. How about us, our churches today? Are we looking to make an impact as a church? Are we or other churches waiting for something to happen? Are we spending that time in prayer? Prayer is important. Now, my message today is pretty short.